And our guest today, Miss Megan McCreary, is actually a yoga instructor and a journalist. She lives in LA, but what she teaches and knows a lot about really affects all of us in a big way. So I'm really happy to have her on the phone with us. Megan works at Equinox Sports Clubs, and she also leads yoga retreats nationally and internationally. Welcome, Megan. How are you?
I'm well, Cynthia. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. You know, your book titled Pick Your Yoga Practice was just published by New World Library, and I was really happy to see that it's printed on 100% post-consumer recycled paper. Way to go.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure New World Library does a good job with that.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I wanted to mention that I noticed early on in your book that there's a reference to Ram Dass, the author of a book titled Be Here Now. And I didn't know if you knew that the bookstore that my husband and I have is actually listed as a reference in the back of that book under resources. It lists Pilgrim's Way Books. And at one point, I guess Ram Dass did visit our store, which is now 45 years old. I don't think he introduced himself, but that was at a time when, you know, the store was focused on Eastern philosophy and metaphysics, and there were many other bookstores in downtown Carmel. And actually, a customer pointed it out to us. So I didn't realize until I read your book that he was actually part of the yoga movement. Can you tell us what part he played?
You know, I didn't research him particularly so much because he was less of a... I stuck to mostly Hatha yoga gurus and teachers who set up specific styles.
Mm.
His movement was more bhakti yoga. I felt that I did need to mention him, at least in the history chapter, because he had such a large part and he was leading these large pilgrimages. I've read parts of Be Here Now. It's amazing. You probably might know a little bit more about Ram Dass and myself.
Well, I do. I mean, his newest one called The Mirror is really a beautifully published book, but I wouldn't consider myself, you know, an expert on the topic. And while we're at it, I need to admit that as much as I do have a personal interest in yoga, and I have dabbled in it at home, reading your book was a little bit like reading a new language. I mean, it's really an in-depth, very practical summary of all different styles of yoga, or many of them, I should say. But it was certainly a beautiful tour through an area that I have interest in, and as I say, I'm not an expert in. Did you have a motivation to write the book, Megan, because of wanting to help people who are just starting out?
Yeah, I think both. And I wanted more people involved with yoga, period. And I think what most people don't understand, and which I did not know, was that there's many different styles of yoga, each with their own philosophy, each with their own nuances and practices, class environments, community aspects. And so there's as many different styles as we have different types of people and temperaments and emotional needs. And I happen to need I like a style that fills a certain set of needs for myself. But I was thinking, you know, it would be such a shame for someone to try yoga once with a friend and just go and then not like the experience and write off yoga altogether.
Mm.
And I also thought perhaps with some more knowledge, more people would be confident taking classes. And then also, I was hoping that even if you've been practicing for a year, you usually start to connect deeper to your yoga practice, and then it becomes appropriate to find one that really speaks to your own heart, to really go deep into the yoga.
I see what you mean. And actually, you know, as I'm listening to you speaking about that, I realized for myself when I encountered different yoga books or practices, what little bit I knew about them, it was very difficult to try to even decipher one from the other and know what would fit me. So do you have a suggestion for someone who's interested where they might want to start out and then maybe have the ability to build on that?
Well, first of all, it depends where you're located, because sometimes you only have one studio or you might have access to five studios. For anybody starting out, I cannot suggest a basic or beginner's class. I mean, even for people who have been practicing for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, people want to skip that in yoga. So I think going to the beginners and the basics is really important. I've been really trying to stress that a lot.
Hmm.
As far as finding a style, I think there's a certain style that really gives you a good yoga education or a foundation, which would be Iyengar yoga, because you're really going to learn how the positions work in your body, how to place your bones, how to place, how to modify the poses for your range of motion, things like that. It goes a little slower. It's more methodical. It's a little detailed. So you're going to get that. And then I think you can go and apply it to any style and practice you want, as long as you have that strong foundation.
Right. So you get a lot of the or all of the fundamentals in that particular style.
Exactly. You don't know all of them, because then you head to another style and they have different nuances with their own. But I really think, as far as safety in the body and the physical postures go, I think the fundamentals are best taught in Iyengar yoga.
Well, I noticed that in your book, when you spoke about Burkham yoga, which is the hot yoga, people call that the hot yoga, there were a number of movie stars mentioned, like Shirley MacLaine, Jennifer Aniston, Lady Gaga, and even Gandhi. And so I got really curious, what do you suppose the attraction is for these particular types of people, celebrities?
Well, Bikram started to become really big, like the early 90s, into 90s, after the aerobics craze, and yoga came back as like this fashionable way to lose weight, get toned, and be healthy. Bikram system in particular is one of the quickest ways to get a slender, to lose weight, if you're really practicing it, because of the heat. And the slender bodies, so it seemed that a lot of celebrities flocked to that at first. Bikram himself has a large personality, so he's always out schmoozing and this and that. He's always in the paper, and sometimes he's causing waves. And actually right now he's got a lot of lawsuits against him.
Uh-huh.
But in the early 90s, it seemed to be, you know, the sort of place to go here in Hollywood.
Uh-huh. Kind of the hot scene, if you will. No pun.
Yeah.
And the other thing I ran across, Megan, was something called yoga for the eyes. Can you describe that for us?
You know, I had not known about that either until I believe that's the Vananda chapter, or either the Isthavananda yoga. And there's all these practices for the eyes, and they're basically exercises of moving your eyes left to right, up to down, clockwise, counterclockwise, and then you cover them and let the senses, let the nerve sensory sort of relax back into its natural state.
Mm-hmm.
And the eyes are supposed to help the eye strength, especially for us when we're on our computers. You know, now the doctors are telling us, make sure you take your eyes away. So yogis would tell you, take your eyes away and move them around a bunch instead. Give them a little workout.
Uh-huh. And it sounds like your phone, the mouthpiece might be moving away a little bit.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
There you
go.
You're back. Well, I guess yoga for the eyes would just be a way to tonify your eyes and make them more flexible and supple and perform better. That's
exactly.
Really cool. Now, there's something I want to read on page 114, the goal of integral yoga. I was very impressed with this. The goal of integral yoga and the birthright of every individual is to realize the spiritual unity behind all of the diversities in the entire creation and to live harmoniously as members of one universal family. This goal is achieved by maintaining our natural conditions of optimal health and strength, and senses under control, a mind well-disciplined, clear and calm, an intellect as sharp as a razor, and a will as strong and pliable as steel, a heart full of unconditional love and compassion, an ego as pure as crystal, and a life filled with supreme peace and joy. Now that really, really impressed me. Does that actually represent that particular segment of yoga, that style?
Yeah, for integral yoga, yes, very much. You know, pieces of that are in every style and yoga as a whole, but integral yoga particularly, there's the Yogananda Yogaville Ashram, Ananda Yogaville Ashram, and they really do believe in living this integrated life, and that that will, your birthright is to be happy, basically. It's a really beautiful system. I would love to go visit Yogaville sometime.
That sounds wonderful. Well,
it's an amazing community.
Yeah, so they really do apply all those aspects of yoga in every part of their life, it sounds like.
Yeah, and that's what the term integral, so they're integrating all the different branches of yoga. So the styles that we're talking about are hatha yoga, so meaning mm-hmm. they're the physical branch of yoga where you're doing postures.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the devotional branch called bhakti. There's also the service branch, karma yoga. There's jnana yoga, study. Integral yoga actually integrates all of the yoga, so it's not just the physical postures and the breathing along with it. And they really then are trying to live a yogic lifestyle. Their aim is to live a yogic lifestyle. And you could go to the ashram and you can experience what's that like for like a week at a time. People live there. It's a really, really true to their system.
That sounds really intriguing and enticing. Well, we're going to be taking a short break in a minute here. If you're just joining us and you'd like to hear earlier parts of the broadcast, you can find the archive on the Pilgrim's Way website, pilgrimsway.com, and just click on Simple Life Radio tab. Choose the show that you want to listen to, either online or download. And our guest today is Megan McCreary, a journalist, yoga instructor, and author of Pick Your Yoga Practice. When we come back, we're going to find out what her journey was like beginning yoga and her words of wisdom for our listeners. I'm Cynthia Fernandez, so stay with us. We'll be back for more Simple Life Radio. So Megan, our guest today, Megan McCreary, journalist and author of Pick Your Yoga Practice. What is the story about you? I mean, I'm not sure how long you've been practicing, but I was really hoping to draw some wisdom from you for anyone that is listening and inspired reading your book, wanting to get their yoga style going. What kind of heads up would you offer our listeners?
So my mom tried to get me to do yoga forever, and I was like, no, it's for old ladies, basically. So I think that sort of myth has been dispelled, and everybody knows yoga is a really good, healthy workout and a balanced workout. What I don't think people realize is that yoga is really about being in touch with yourself.
Mm.
Yeah, we do this physical practice on the mat because, you know, we're so stimulated otherwise. We get to come and engage ourselves on the mat with our breath for an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half, whatever it is. It's a short amount of time. And we get to examine how things come up and how we respond to that. And we get to notice what goes on in our head and what tracks are playing. It's just, I really stress to my students, yoga is about becoming more of yourself and realizing that. And then yoga, on top of that, gives you the courage then to be yourself. So it's practice for life.
Mm-hmm. And did you, when you were starting out, I mean, did you always have this passion and commitment, or were there any kind of obstacles or stumbling blocks that you had to overcome?
Oh, no. I had a lot of allergies in my early 20s, and so I couldn't breathe in out of my nose. So I didn't do yoga for that reason. So now I make sure I tell everybody, you know, if it's not through the nose, don't worry about it. Just breathe.
Right.
Because I would hate for someone not to come to yoga because they can't breathe through their nose. And then this is almost what always happens. When you start, you tend to be on fire about it, and you love it. And, you know, I watch people, and they're going to, like, 3-4 classes a week. And then inevitably, you fall off. Like, everybody goes through that disconnect with their yoga practice.
Mm.
It's actually cycles of practice. We call it, you know, you have that honeymoon phase where you're so in love, and then you're just committed, and you're working, and then you step away from it. And that's okay, because when you come back to it, and you're like, oh, my gosh, this feels so good, you get to remember all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times I finally made it back to the mat and said, oh, why wasn't I doing this all along? But then you have to be soft with yourself. Uh-huh. You know, you can't get angry. You have to accept what is.
That is a really good point. And, you know, what you're speaking about is something that I think in many different disciplines or philosophies we're hearing, whether it's personal development, any kind of spirituality or anything that we're really trying to find that place of peace and harmony. One of the biggest, most common rules, if you will, is be soft with yourself, be gentle with yourself, right. And just go from here, start from here forward. And so I'm appreciating that, you know, you're willing to share that. Now, unfortunately, we're running close to the end of our time, and I had so many other questions for you. I wonder if we have time. I was intrigued with forest yoga, and I wonder if you have time to share a story with our listeners about Anna Forrest, its founder.
Well, it's an incredible story. Anna Forrest is a woman who experienced every kind of abuse imaginable, had extreme illnesses, physical, mental, emotional, and she basically healed herself through yoga, I believe some Native American wisdom, and some energy work. And her style of yoga is really geared towards dealing with trauma and getting rid of traumas in the body. And it's known as fierce yoga because it's physically strenuous, and it's also fierce emotionally. It's medicine. It's interesting. It's not huge on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So I'm in LA and I haven't had a lot of experience with it. Mm-hmm. But, after writing that section, I really was, I'm interested. I ordered her book and would like to be, I'm looking for a forest yoga teacher. I think the yoga can work in so many ways. I don't think people even understand. It can be just flexibility and strength, or you could be dealing with your childhood traumas. You could be, you know, working, you know, to become part of a community and integrate that into your life. There's, you know, it's all amazing different levels and ways to incorporate yoga.
Well, I have to say, after I read your book, Picking Your Yoga Practice, I started to really appreciate some of the, perhaps like you said, unseen abilities that yoga has to balance the mind and restore an inner balance to the individual. And I do see bumper stickers on cars that say Be Yoga, and it sort of makes me think that it's more than a physical exercise. So, yeah. I'm intrigued by that particular one, too, especially since there are so many people that are suffering from one kind of trauma or another. Certainly, a lot of people who have found some need for prescription drugs and therapy, and gosh, wouldn't it be great if they could help themselves with this particular kind of yoga practice, you know, with a good instructor, of course.
Yeah. And just real quick, Kripalu yoga is genius for incorporating Eastern yoga philosophies with modern Western personal growth methods and psychology. It's a fantastic system for that.
Now say that one again.
Kripalu yoga.
Kripalu yoga.
It's called there's a Kripalu yoga center, I believe, in Massachusetts. It's wonderful.
Uh-huh. Well, we are running out of time. Do you have just a quick minute to tell us, since we're co-sponsored by a bookstore, what your favorite book of all time is?
I was thinking about that. It's very tough to choose, but I have to say that Anatomy of a Spirit.
Ooh.
Yeah, because that just, when I found that book, I think I've read it like, I don't know, many, many times. And when I found that book, it made sense of so many of my sensitivities and ailments and just understanding how the energy body and the intellect and the emotional and the traumas and the physical, they're all, you know, they all act on each other and we can't just deny it.
Wow, that is so true. Well, I have to say we're running out of time, Megan. We're our guest today, Megan McCreary, author of Pick Your Yoga Practice, which is a great summary of practices, many of them, so that you can pick the right one that's tailor-fit for you. Thank you, Megan, for making time to call us and share your wisdom with our listeners on Simple Life Radio.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.
It's great having you. So for the rest of you, I will be here next Saturday. As I mentioned, our guest is Valerie Lumley. Join us. Until then, take good care. Keep it simple.